Kevin Mitnick's journey from teenage phone freaker to the FBI's most wanted hacker reads like a high-tech thriller, except it actually happened. Ghost in the Wires chronicles his remarkable life as a digital outlaw who hacked not for money or malice, but for the pure intellectual thrill. As Apple co-founder Steve Wozniak notes in the book's foreword, he hacked purely for the challenge. This compulsion would cost Mitnick 5 years in prison before transforming into a legitimate career that made him one of the most sought-after security consultants worldwide. What makes Mitnick's story so compelling isn't just his technical prowess, it's the psychological cat-and-mouse game he played with authorities for years. His exploits exposed fundamental weaknesses in corporate security systems decades before cybersecurity became a household concern. More importantly, they revealed how the human element remains the most vulnerable link in any security chain, a lesson that remains critically relevant in our increasingly digital world. Kevin demonstrated his barrier-circumventing abilities early, escaping his crib at 18 months. Growing up in San Fernando Valley with a single working mother and frequent relocations, he gravitated toward solitary pursuits despite his mathematical aptitude. Two childhood experiences proved formative. At 10, a neighbor magician captivated him with the psychology of illusion, how audiences willingly accept deception, which later became the foundation of his social engineering techniques. Later, a bus driver named Bob Arco introduced teenage Kevin to making free phone calls through ham radio, igniting his interest in telecommunications. His first significant unauthorized adventure involved infiltrating Pacific Telephone's central office with a friend. When confronted by security, Mitnick deployed what would become his signature skill, talking his way out of trouble by claiming to work at another facility. This close call only intensified the thrill, establishing a pattern for the increasingly bold exploits that would define his future. Mitnick's true danger lay not in his technical skills, but in his masterful understanding of human psychology. At U.S. Leasing, he simply called their computer room, posed as deck support, warning about a catastrophic bug, and obtained system manager credentials. The weakest link in security is not the technology, it's the people who use it, Mitnick explained. During Memorial Day weekend in 1981, he and a friend entered Pacific Telephone's critical Cosmos building by convincing a guard to let them in without ID, discovering dial-up numbers and passwords for Southern California wire centers. As his ambitions grew, Mitnick targeted major corporations like Novell, Nokia, and NEC, collecting source code like trophies. His approach, identify targets with valuable intellectual property, use social engineering for access, exploit vulnerabilities, and extract source code. These weren't financially motivated attacks. Mitnick never sold the code or used it for competitive advantage. They were trophy hunts, driven by the thrill of accomplishment. I felt the same satisfaction as hitting a home run in Little League, he wrote about obtaining Motorola source code for the MicroTac ultralight phone. Mitnick's fugitive existence balanced ordinary routines with constant vigilance. After fleeing Seattle, he created a new identity as G. Thomas Case and settled in Raleigh, North Carolina, Money Magazine's top-ranked city that year. Daily life meant isolation, avoiding neighbors, and unable to form close friendships since his face had appeared in publications. Still, he found comfort in Southern hospitalities, like waitresses who would sit with him during dinner, offering conversation. His routine became predictable. Evenings working on resumes, gym sessions, late dinners, and after midnight, hacking. Meanwhile, security expert Tsutomu Shimomura, whose system Mitnick had breached on Christmas Day, was tracking him. The end came on Valentine's Day, 1995. After returning from dinner and logging into his compromised systems, a 1:30 a.m. knock announced the FBI. Despite maintaining his false identity, agents found a forgotten pay stub with his real name in an old ski jacket. Mitnick, the jig is up, the agent declared. What truly distinguishes Mitnick's story is the elaborate cat-and-mouse game he played with law enforcement, a game where he often seemed one step ahead. This reached its apex when Mitnick discovered he was being investigated by someone claiming to be Eric Hines, a fellow hacker who knew phone company secrets. Rather than cutting contact when suspicious, Mitnick investigated Eric himself. Through social engineering and technical maneuvers, he uncovered that Eric Hines was using phones registered to Joseph Wernel. The work phone led to Mike Martinez, and cell records showed numerous calls to FBI headquarters. Through thorough traffic analysis of phone records, Mitnick discovered calls to Eric's pager from FBI agents' direct lines, allowing him to compile a list of everyone investigating him. The investigation climaxed when Mitnick called the real Joseph Wernel in Philadelphia, who revealed that Joseph Wernel Jr. didn't exist. The name belonged to his nephew, Joseph Ways, an FBI agent in California. Mitnick had uncovered the truth. FBI agent Joseph Ways had created a false identity to trap him. This remarkable reversal, where the target of a federal investigation was simultaneously investigating his investigators, showcases both Mitnick's technical brilliance and his reckless compulsion. Released from prison in January 2000 after nearly 5 years, Mitnick was initially banned from using computers. His transformation began in 2001 when he authored The Art of Deception with John Wiley & Sons, an international bestseller still used in university curricula worldwide. Within 11 years, Mitnick established a successful consulting practice in ethical hacking, testing company security before malicious actors could exploit vulnerabilities. Today, he delivers corporate keynotes, evaluates security products, and provides security awareness training. His expertise is sought by prestigious institutions like Harvard Law School, Harvard Business Review, and government agencies including the FAA and FBI. What makes Mitnick's transformation remarkable is that he essentially performs the same work that once landed him in prison. The crucial difference? Authorization. The element that transformed him from the world's most wanted hacker into one of the most wanted security experts. What drives someone to risk everything, freedom, relationships, reputation, for unauthorized computer access? For Mitnick, hacking wasn't about financial gain, but intellectual curiosity, the thrill of solving complex puzzles, and the sense of power it provided. Growing up in unstable circumstances, hacking offered young Kevin a realm where he could exercise mastery. His counselor framed hacking as an addiction, and Mitnick displayed classic patterns: escalating behavior, inability to stop despite consequences, and rationalization. Today, he channels these same psychological drives into his legitimate career, still solving security puzzles and bypassing defenses, but with permission and purpose. The most valuable lesson from Mitnick's story is that security is only as strong as its weakest link, which is almost always human rather than technological. As he often says, you can have the best technology, firewalls, intrusion detection systems, biometric devices, and somebody can call an unsuspecting employee, "That's all she wrote, baby, they're in." In our digital world, this reminder that technology is only as secure as the humans who use it might be Kevin Mitnick's most enduring legacy.